I'll be reading Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 14. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. John?
Good morning to each of you. I'm grateful to be with you this morning, and already we have experienced worship together through the singing, thank you, and through your prayers and the offerings, and being in the presence of God and the presence of each other. Surely the Holy Spirit is here with us. I think as I look around, I recognize many of you from times in the past or other experiences. And so, Nelson, maybe I'll just share a few things for those who maybe do not know me. I'm married to Debbie, my wife, sitting over here. It's 49 years and counting. We have three married adult children with six grandchildren, which are a blessing to us, our children as well, and their spouses, and our six grandchildren. I want to be clear on that. Whenever I come into this space, I'm reminded of my fourth, fifth, and sixth grade classes. I attended here in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade at Whitmer Heights Elementary School. My fourth grade class was in that corner where the office is, I think. My sixth grade class was back here, and my fifth grade class was down the hall where I saw some people walking out of as a Sunday school classroom. I can still remember my teacher's name. Miss Anderson was my fourth grade teacher. Miss Shriver was my fifth grade teacher, and Mr. Snyder was my sixth grade teacher. I have a lot of good memories of this space and place. I'm wondering, is there anyone else that's present here that would have attended this school? Prior to that, it was East Lampeter High School. You attended here as a high school or middle school? Or elementary school? Okay. All right. And I see Lori. Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah. And my wife did too. Yeah. Well. That was 60-some years ago. This was the gym. This was the auditorium and the gym. So that was the stage, and we would have music class in here, and there were basketball rims at both ends, and good memories. I grew up not far from here on a dairy farm, the oldest boy of eight kids, went away to college to get off the farm. I taught and coached for a number of years locally here at Hempfield High School. Shelby reminded me of that this morning, that she played softball for Lancaster Mennonite, and I happened to be the softball coach for Hempfield High School. Taught and coached there for a number of years, and then moved to Virginia, where I attended Eastern Mennonite Seminary and served also as director of athletics and soccer coach at EMU. Later, I was called by my home congregation to pastor at Mellinger Mennonite Church, and my bishop was Paul Zare, who is here this morning, and then 10 years pastored at Ridgeview Mennonite Church for 10 years. And Debbie and I continue to attend Ridgeview Mennonite Church. After 20 years of pastoring, I needed to slip into the wilderness to retreat and renew, and I spent 5 years as the executive director at Laurelville Mennonite Church Conference and Retreat Center, as it's referred to. Was there for 5 years, and then I returned to Lancaster and worked at Lancaster Mennonite School in development and director of church relations. I retired during the COVID years and now work part-time at Mennonite Life Visitor Center. I know there are a number of people that have connections here, and I get a chance to work with Merle there on a regular basis. One other thing that impacted significantly my life and continues to impact me is in ways that I have experienced in ways that I don't even know, and that was 8 years ago in April, I had a heart transplant. And so I am grateful and thankful to be here with you this morning. And so it's my prayer and my hope this morning that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, if you will be honorable and acceptable to God and to each of you and instructive in that way this morning. Today is Pentecost Sunday, often celebrated as the birthday of the modern church as we know it. So thanks, I see, look out, and thanks for coming dressed to the party. I see some of you have your bright colors on to help us remember that Passover is considered a holy day to celebrate. In the Hebrew tradition of holy days, this holy day was celebrated as the Feast of the Harvest, or the Harvest of the First Fruits, which happened 50 days after the Passover holy day feast, or which we celebrate as Easter. Which is why, in our scripture for today from Acts 2, which is why all the people were in Jerusalem at that time. They came from all over the then, quote, known world to Jerusalem to celebrate this holy day. It was a joyful day of celebrating. Family and friends came to eat and drink of the first fruits and to fellowship with one another. Of course, that's why as they were celebrating when the Spirit came that some of them thought they were actually drunk because of the way that they were working, because of the way that they were celebrating, that they were probably inebriated a little bit. It was a holy day of joy, an expression of gratitude for the blessings of the harvest, and this Pentecost Sunday was also a reminder to them of their generations ago when they were led out of Egypt, as Moses led them out of Egypt. It just so happened that on this particular holy day, Jesus' disciples were there celebrating in Jerusalem as well. Little did they know how their world would change and how this holy day would take on a whole new meaning for them. They were in this place for such a time as this, and I've entitled my sermon, For Such a Time as This. We can remember, the disciples, that 10 days before Jesus had ascended into heaven, Ascension Day as we remember it, Jesus had ascended into heaven, and Jesus instructed his disciples as he was with them. He said, go back to Jerusalem and wait. Wait until the power of the Holy Spirit would come to them. So I'm guessing that the Feast of the Harvest had begun for them, the disciples, like every other Jewish celebration. I'm guessing the disciples were participating in every way fully in the celebration. And I'm guessing maybe in this celebration, they had maybe even, because they were human after all, they may have even forgotten Jesus' words to them to go back and wait. Because it was a holiday. It was a holy day. They were celebrating. So I'm guessing it may have slipped back into their minds that this was where they were supposed to wait. That is until that early morning when everyone was awakened by the sounds of the rushing wind that was everywhere, the visual signs of the flames of fire that rested on the heads of the disciples, and the sounds of strange words, languages that were being spoken, that the gathered people from all over heard. I often wonder, at what point did Peter and the other disciples figure out what was going on? It seems that all of this wind, fire, and the babbling of words was creating a tremendous chaotic kind of time for everyone. In a sense, I can imagine people running in every direction. Like, what's going on? I can imagine children being there for this celebration, running around trying to find their parents. What is happening? Rushing wind, flames, people talking in strange languages. And of course, there were those people, other than the Jewish folks who were gathered, who were poking fun, as was mentioned earlier, at the craziness, saying, wow, look at them, all drunk and out of their minds. At some point, Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up, spoke up, and did something that only days before, or maybe even moments before this happened, Peter would never imagine that he could or would or should do. I think sometimes, because we've heard this story so many times, we've tamed down We've tamed the event down. Oh, yeah, this is just normal. You know, fire on people's head, winds blowing everything around, people talking in all kinds of languages that they never talked in before. You know, sometimes I think we, you know, yeah. And we tame the story down. This is not a tame story. This is wild and crazy. Think about it. It was a chaotic kind of scene with wind blowing everything all around, fire coming out of disciples' heads, and they were speaking in different languages. And they were speaking in different languages, and people from all the different places that had gathered understood them. And they said, "What is happening?" And for such a time as this, Jesus had been preparing Peter and the rest of the disciples, and this was the moment. And I believe that Peter found somehow the courage to step up, speak up, and act in ways that, as I mentioned before, he could never have asked or imagined. And I believe that words that came to Peter, the words that came to him were not really his words, but they were clearly the words inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, Peter would not have done this. Another name for the Holy Spirit is the Hebrew word ruach, R-U-A-C-H, ruach, which means the breath of God, the breath of God, the ruach with which God created the heavens and the earth, the ruach that God breathed into the earth to create man and woman, Adam and Eve. This is the ruach, the spirit, the breath of God. It was the ruach that Ezekiel said in giving life to the dry bones, the passage that Nelson read. Prior to that, it was the valley of dry bones, if you can remember. And all these dry bones, and there was nothing there, and God breathed into them. And Ezekiel said, in giving life to the dry bones, he said, "I will put my spirit within you. I will breathe, ruach. I will breathe on you. I will resuscitate you, and you shall live again." These dry bones would come alive. So here now is Peter, filled with the ruach, the very breath of God through the Holy Spirit. Peter stands up. He steps out into the crowd, and then he speaks these words. He said no to what those people were saying. Oh, they're probably drunk, or they're probably overcome with the celebration. Peter said no to that. And then he goes on to speak words of life, words of the Spirit that brought clarity to this craziness that was happening with the wind, the fire, and the languages being spoken. So if you look, I'm going to just ask if you could, with the screen, if you could just step back to verse 14. Beginning at verse 14, I think it must be the slide prior to the slide that's there now. Yes. No, too far. Okay, there you go. Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice. He addressed the crowd, and he said, "Brothers and sisters, fellow Jews, all of you," and he included the rest who were not Jews, "and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." So Peter then goes on to explain, and he quotes the words of the prophet Joel. And Joel's words, I think it's fascinating. It says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. But I will pour out my spirit on all people." Everyone, not just the Jews, but all people. And then Peter goes on and shares these powerful words. The fire and the wind of the Holy Spirit that was coming was creating a new, something new for them. And later in chapter 2, verses that I didn't include for this morning, later in chapter 2, you can read it, verse 37, the people were cut to the heart from Peter's teaching, Peter's word. It says they were cut to the heart. Has a special meaning for me. Cut to the heart. They said to Peter, "What should we do? What should we say? What should we do?" And Peter said this, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And the scriptures tell us that there were about 3,000 people that were baptized that day. And then the end of chapter 2 is this kind of incredible story of how all these gathered people, they were so moved by the Spirit that they gathered together daily. They ate together. They studied the scriptures together. They sold their possessions and they shared everything in common. And it's just a fascinating story, talking together and studying about things of God. So I'd like to go back to, again, to Acts 17. It's there. You can read it. Peter, the years between when this was spoken, Joel spoke this in the Old Testament, and the time that Peter quoted this scripture now was many, many years. Okay? And it says, in these last days, it shall be that God will pour out God's Spirit. So here we are, right? 25, over 2,000 years later, and we're reading this, and in these last days. You know, what are these last days? When are they? So for the remaining few minutes, I would just like us to think together. So we're here today, June of 2025. We're reading this scripture. And it says, for such a time as this, what are we to do at Pentecost 2025? What do we say in these last days? When God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, all flesh. What does that look like for us here at Whitmer Heights or Ridgeview? What does it mean to experience Pentecost this day? How does the Holy Spirit breathe life into us? How do you and I experience the unity of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that we sang today? For such a time as this, how do we understand it? Can we hear today? Can we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in the midst, if you will, in the midst of the chaos that we live in, right? There's so much noise around us, so much noise, this and that and everything. How do we hear the Holy Spirit in the midst of this wild chaos that we are living in? In some ways, I wonder, can we hear the voice of God? Can we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us? We have heard the Holy Spirit referred to as the one who comes alongside of us as followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is also at times called the Comforter, or the Helper, or the Advocate. And we often refer to the dove, and I appreciated the picture up here, the dove as the symbol for the Holy Spirit, representing peace and new beginnings and the gentle nature, reconciliation. The dove represents harmony, transformation, as in the baptism of Jesus Christ when the dove rested on Jesus as he was baptized. In the Celtic tradition, and I noticed on the back of the bulletin, and in the front of the bulletin, pictures of a wild goose, and on the back of the bulletin, explaining it a little bit. And so I'll just say a little more since I was planning to do that. In the Celtic tradition, the symbol for the Holy Spirit was not a dove, a peaceful, gentle, loving dove, but it was a wild goose representing its unpredictable and surprising nature of the wild goose. I don't know if any of you have ever been chased by a goose, but it's not peaceful and calm and bringing unity or harmony. It's wild. It is passionate, the goose, courageous and untamed, acting in ways that may be disruptive at times, not controlled by the norms that we can kind of like, but representing instead the freedom of the Spirit that moves and blows everywhere. So we could ask this morning, which Spirit do we need for such a time as this, for Pentecost 2025? Which do we need? Do we need the peaceful, comforting dove bringing harmony and unity? Or do we need the passionate, courageous, disruptive wild goose to blow some things around or shake us up a bit? Last week, Mennonite World Conference met in Zurich, Switzerland, celebrating 500 years of Anabaptism, dating back to 1525. I wasn't able to be there in person. Is there anyone here that was attended? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands, but I'm sure we all had taken time to watch some of the things. I think all of us heard about these beautiful stories of God's Spirit at work at the Mennonite World Conference there. We heard about reconciliation, about a spirit of harmony and unity that was experienced in worship and in singing and eating together. We heard people sharing in many different languages. See the similarities here of many languages, eating and being together. Spirit of harmony, praising God and living life in the Spirit. It sounded, as I was listening to parts of it, to the music and the singing, it sounded almost heavenly to me. Now, I'm aware that there were also many important discussions where our differences were named at Mennonite World Conference. These differences were discussed with opportunity for God's Spirit to embrace and engage and to breathe life into, to grow and to be transformed, and at times to agree, to disagree in the spirit of love with one another. The theme of Mennonite World Conference was the courage to love. Simply those words, the courage to love. With all of our differences, people gathered from every tongue, tribe, and nation at Mennonite World Conference. So back to my question. So what do we need for such a time as this, Pentecost 2025, the dove or the goose? If we were to go back to 1525, our early Anabaptist parents, was the dove at work or was the goose of the Spirit at work, or both? And could we say that 500 years later here that both the dove and the wild goose are needed for such a time as this? Are we able to find unity? Can we find, as the theme of Mennonite World Conference, can we find the courage to love, to stand up, to step forward, and to speak up like Peter did on that first Pentecost? Using our voices, using our presence, and our lives to practice the fruits of the Spirit and to exercise our gifts of the Spirit, all for the sake of building up the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. Not sure about you, but for such a time as this, I can sometimes find myself saying, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. I seemed overwhelmed. I find myself in this place sometimes just calling out to God in my not knowing. Just a quick story. 8 years ago, when I had to return back to the hospital at the University of Pennsylvania for complications with my transplant, I remember lying there in my bed at the hospital, and I told Debbie, I don't know if I can go on. I don't even know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. And she reminded me of this scripture that we see in front of us from Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And the God who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So sometimes I think that today we may find ourselves groaning, you know, with how do we pray? What do we pray? And to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is there interceding for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us in our not knowing. And I believe that as we call out to the Holy Spirit for such a time as this, that God will breathe life into all of us, knowing sometimes that it may be the gentle touch of the healing dove to comfort us. And at other times, it may also be the raucous honking or goosing of the wild goose, if you will, to make us step out, stand up, and speak out. Amen. May God add his blessings to these words. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.